with our very special guest tonight, L.A. Marzulli. More to talk with him about the harbingers of things to come. And yes, he said there's a little hope here to get out of all of this. So he'll set the stage for that when we come right back. L.A., you wanted to kind of set the stage a little bit before we get into later on a little hope for all of this. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I believe is that there's been a cosmic war going on for millennia. I mean, far, far back than, let's say, the 10 or 12,000 years that we have of recorded history here. These two opposing forces have been going at it, and this war is about to spill over into this dimension. We're starting to see signs of it. And I think these earth changes and these disasters that we're seeing are sort of harbingers of what is coming, which is actually, it gets worse before it gets better. At some point, and I believe, you know, the place to look to is the Middle East, because that's where the prophecy tells us most of this stuff is going to come down. At some point in time, we will actually have the Battle of Armageddon. I mean, at some point. And I realize, you know, people listening to that go, oh, come on, that's like... But when we start to look at the prophecies that are there, and we realize that these prophecies are spelled out with great specificity, and so many of them have already happened and exactly the way they were told thousands of years ago. I mean, drop all religious pretense and just look at the prophecies for what they are. And so I believe that this war between these two opposing forces, and they are unequally matched, El Elyon, the Most High God, and the Fallen One. Most people know him as Lucifer or Satan. It's a total mismatch, and it's taken millennia for this thing to play out, but it is playing out. It is playing out, and these ancient prophetic texts tell us that these are the signs of the last days. Now, look, if I'm wrong, you know, George, at some point in time, it's going to be self-evident. I mean, sure. It will be. At some point in time, we won't be going, you know, I think it's going to be, it'll be, look what just happened, and this was prophesied here thousands of years ago, and it's happening now. So, you know, tonight's show is talking about all these events, earth changes, and man-made events that are happening. Troublesome times, the BP oil spill, the greatest ecological disaster in the 21st or the 20th, maybe any century, I don't know. It just seems totally unprecedented. The 6 million and perhaps more now of aquatic life just dying in Bolivian rivers, thousands, tens of thousands of fish washing up in New Jersey, on the shores of New Jersey, yep. The Russian fires.
Seals dying worldwide.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Seals are dying worldwide.
Yeah, yeah.
If you believe this is the prophecy, then you have to believe there's an Antichrist out there.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, when we get into that, that's a whole kettle of fish. The prize is Jerusalem. The prize of the Antichrist.
Always was.
Always was. That's always after. He wants to be worshipped as God. This goes back, you know, thousands and thousands of years. That's the deal. And it says, the prophecy says, which is something so bizarre, and I've talked about it before on this show. I mean, it's just a bizarre prophecy. And there's people who will disagree. That's fine. At some point, again, it'll become self-evident. When the temple is rebuilt, the guy, the person who cuts the deal, because there's no way that Muslims are going to allow the Jews to do anything on that temple mount. It's a no-brainer. That's never going to happen, right? But that the prophecy tells us that temple will be rebuilt. When that temple is rebuilt, the guy who cuts the deal, he's the guy. That's how we'll know. But see, most people don't know the prophecy. So if this happens, they'll shrug their shoulders and go on, you know, what's on the tube tonight, or let's go to the movie, what's for dinner, honey? Gee, American Idol's in a half an hour. You get what I mean? Because people don't know the prophecy. But at least on this show, we're talking about it. So, and if you remember this, that at some point in time, when it happens, the person who cuts the deal between the Israelis, the Jews, and the Muslims to rebuild that third temple, there'll probably be most likely a wall that will go up right on the side of the Dome of the Rock. The Temple Mount is huge. The Temple Mount is about 40 acres. It's a huge complex. Right. There's plenty of room for another structure there. But the guy who creates that deal is the Antichrist, and that's where I think we're headed at some point.
Interesting. We will watch that. Why do you say Turkey is significant and some of the events there?
This is huge. This is huge. There are, again, the ancient prophetic texts talk about this battle It's a 2,600-year-old prophecy. It's a lot older than the Mayan prophecy, 2,600 years prophecy. It talks about, and it says very specifically, in the latter days, a confederacy of nations will come up against the land of unwalled villages, Israel. So the first thing that has to happen is Israel has to be reinstated, which happened, of course, in 1948. What we see is the nations that are listed are Magog and Persia. Those are the first two. Persia, of course, is Iran. We see now this loose confederacy between Russia and Iran. Well, the next group of nations is Meshech, Tubal, and Togarma. Okay, what does that mean? Well, those three nations comprise the modern nation of Turkey. Those three nations literally comprise the modern nation of Turkey. And up till recently, Turkey was pro-Western and basically an ally of Israel until about a month ago. I about fell out of my chair when all that stuff with the flotilla came down, looking at it, all of a sudden Turkey saber-rattling and doing what? Turning towards the east, turning towards Iran, turning towards Russia. I was blown away by that. So does that mean we're looking at the Ezekiel 38 war in the next 10 minutes? I don't know, folks. But I am alarmed because, you know, last time I was on the show, that hadn't happened. Now it's happened. So we're it's like, George, like we're inching our way here, slowly inching towards this climax. We're accelerating in some areas. In other areas, it's very slow. It's arduous. I've talked about this before on this show. But now we see three of the nations that are listed in that prophecy now lining up in this loose confederacy. It's very alarming, very alarming.
Do you see the Iranian situation, which is truly a tinderbox? Mm-hmm. Do you see that as part of this equation?
Well, yeah, definitely. The player to watch in all this and is Russia. Everything depends on what Russia will do. And the prophecy says, I put a hook in Magog's jaw. I put a hook in the jaw and draw it down. In other words, that tells me that these guys really don't want to be involved here, but they are involved here. And what we see is Russia has got its fingerprints all over the Middle East now. Last week, of course.
And China.
And China. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so this thing is, it's like the whole world is just kind of watching it. The pundits are going, you know, there's going to be a war. Israel's got to attack Iran. Well, what if Iran, knowing Israel's penchant for preemptive strikes, pulls the trigger first? And what if they're supported by Russia? And that's the key player here. If the Ruskies side with the Iranians, if they really enter the fray militarily, then I believe it would be the fulfillment of the Ezekiel 38 prophecy. Right now, it's too early to tell. But what's alarming, right, again, it's a sign. Last week, they put the S-300 anti-missile system in Abkhazia, which is in the north part of Georgia, which is right next to Turkey and then Russia. Borders bumps up against those two countries, which sort of like it's a chess move. The Israelis can no longer use the northern route to attack Iran because the S-300 anti-missile system is there.
They're all lined up there, aren't they?
Everybody's lined up, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about a couple more things here, and then we'll get into some of these very strange paranormal ends of all of this. You think the borders are a concern? Go ahead.
What about the border again? Our southern border?
Our southern border.
Well, in my book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, I quote a researcher, author by the name of Paul Williams, and he believes, and I'm with him on this, and I'll tell you a little sort of a connected dots thing that I came up with, and I blogged about it when I saw it. He believes that dirty nukes have come into the country more than likely in the late 90s. We know that Osama bin Laden had a fatwa, a religious decree from an imam, allowing him to use weapons of mass destruction against the infidel.
And he says that Paul says they're in six cities, right?
Yeah. Well, between 2 and 20. So he may have updated his information. So let's be conservative. Let's go six cities. About a month and a half, 2 months ago, Hillary Clinton, our Secretary of State, gets up on a Monday morning and announces out of the blue, just out of the blue, announces, okay, terrorists are trying to get weapons of mass destruction into the United States. That was interesting. 2 days later, the president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, announces, and I have all this, you know, it's all documented. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, president of Iran, announces, if Iran is attacked by Israel or the United States, we, the Iranians, will detonate in American cities weapons of mass destruction. That's a direct quote from him. About a week after that, a German researcher believes that Osama bin Laden is hiding out in Iran. So here's the dots that I connected. And, you know, your listeners have to do their own homework and, you know, prove me wrong, or maybe Osama's dead and the whole thing's a ruse and a canard, and who knows? There's no way to vet the story. But this German filmmaker, journalist, got into Iran, and according to his sources, Osama is in Iran, was given sanctuary. This begs the question, how did he get there? More than likely, from Tora Bora, he went to Pakistan. That's where the trail grows cold. There was a quid pro quo. Now, this is all scenario speculation, but on my part. But it's good speculation based on the intel that we receive. So the quid pro quo is this. Remember, Osama is Sunni, and Iran is mostly Shia. So there's a huge difference in belief systems to begin with.
Right.
But Osama says, listen, I've got tactical dirty nukes. I've got dirty nukes, rather, embedded in American cities. I will give you the sleeper cells, access to the sleeper cells, if you allow me safe passage. Remember, this guy's backed up against the wall. He knows he's a dead man. The Iranians go, far out, let's do it. So they bring Osama in. Osama gives them access to the sleeper cells. Hillary Clinton is doing this. Remember, the Iranians are completely surrounded. They're in a pincer move. On their western flank, they've got Iraq, which has got hundreds of thousands of coalition soldiers. And to the east, they've got Afghanistan, the same thing. So they're in a pincer move. The only option they have is to close the Straits of Hormuz. We'll get into that in a little bit, hopefully. But for Ahmadinejad to throw that card on the table, is it just a bluff? Or is he now signaling, I got sleeper cells in your country. You attack us, we will detonate this thing. This goes back to what Paul Williams said in his book, Al-Qaeda Brotherhood of Terror, Connect the Dots. It seems like it's a likely scenario to me.
Well, and again, when you look at everything, as you are, it's a scenario of Armageddon, and it's exactly what the Book of Revelation hints at.
I agree. I completely concur. Like I said, George, I've never seen it. I've never seen the global situation this tenuous with all the earth changes and the man-made catastrophes and the earthquakes. And, we didn't even talk about the honeybee population dying off. In fact, the one guy who wrote it, he called it will reach a perfect storm, the way the credit crisis did. He goes, these numbers are all indicators that a crisis is coming, because the honeybees, they've lost one-third of the hives.
Well, we're also losing, and, you know, Linda Moulton Howe, our investigative reporter, at the end of the month, has another update, in addition to all the stories she's covering for us, on the dying bats that are dying of a strange fungus. It's getting them. Now, you know, I'm not a fan of vampire bats or bats in general, but I've got to tell you, again, it's a harbinger of things.
Yeah. If it's one isolated incident, like just the bees or just the bats or just the, you know, aquatic life dying in Bolivian rivers or just the 500 fires in Russia, you know, you can kind of deal with that. But you start piecing all this together, what are we looking at, folks? Things are accelerating, and this, I believe, we're beginning to look at the birth pangs. We're looking at troublesome times. We're looking at the beginnings of sorrows, just like the prophecy tells us. I think some of this stuff could be supernaturally, and that's, you know, I'm kind of going out on a limb here, but some of it may be supernaturally caused, possibly. There's certainly a it could be. I mean, I kind of ducked that question when you ran it by me in the first hour.
Yeah.
But it's certain. I've thought about it more, and it certainly could be, because there are places where we read of exactly this kind of thing happening.
There are others out there who I would guess would agree with you. Other researchers?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there's many of us who look at these ancient prophetic texts, are looking at the Middle East, and, you know, kind of holding our breath, wondering what it will be. What are we really looking at? Is it really the Ezekiel 38 prophecy? This guy's name was Ezekiel, who lived 2,600 years ago. He's the prophet that we're talking about, and he wrote this book.
He's the one that we think came down in a flying saucer, isn't he? Ezekiel's wheel.
That's all of our discussion.
That's a show by itself.
That's all of our discussion.
it really is. The events that are unfolding, if I recall Revelation, like you said, it gets worse, then it gets better again, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
So there's kind of like this little roller coaster swing. When does it peak?
Well, if we're in the birth pangs now, what we're going to see is a new world order, a one world government and a one world religious system form. Somehow those two events have to happen. We will see, and the technology is here for that. We talk about digital angel. We've spoken. I know you've covered this, you know, a lot on the show. The idea of these RFID chips being implanted underneath the skin. Well, now they don't even need the chips. It's just the ink. So you can be tattooed with an RFID tattoo, which will have all your banking and credit, everything on it, medical history, and it's invisible. Right on the back of the hand, they just come in, present the hand, boom, scan it. Especially with all the stuff going on, if there's an event in this country, like we talked about with dirty nukes, if a dirty nuke, a radiological event happens in this country, I believe we're looking at mandatory chipping of the population. Now, whether that's RFID tattoo or digital angel remains to be seen. They've got both.
How many people do you think would do it and go along with that?
Well, you know, Kissinger said this, I'm going to not quote it verbatim, but I'll, you know, sort of paraphrase it. If people just want safety and freedom, and at some point, if we're looking at dirty nukes going off and no one knows what's happening, just think back at 9/11 when it happened. Everyone was like holding their breath and waiting.
Is the other shoe
going to drop? Yeah. And all people want is peace and safety. And at that point, people will do anything for it. People will abandon, give up their freedoms to ensure their safety and their peace. That's basically what Kissinger was
talking about. Well, you know what? Even President Bush at the time, when he was in that school in Florida, and they whispered into his ear and he had to pretend that everything was cool, he had the look of panic on his face. I don't even think he, you know how people say they blame him for this? You know what? I think he was left out of the puzzle. I don't even think he knew what was going on.
Well, you know, the whole 9/11 thing, it gets into the conspiracy theories and, you know, what really happened and how could something free fall like that in pancake. And I know, Duke University did the math on it and the Pentagon. What bothers me is Building 7. And I agree.
I mean, the whole thing is strange.
It just makes no sense why Building 7 would completely free fall like that within a matter of seconds. I mean, it just makes no sense.
Well, then they found thermite in a lot of the
thermite and the nanothermite, right.
Yep.
Something is going on and we're not getting the whole picture. So it's, but look, I agree. I mean, I think Bush was kept out of the loop. We are moving. There are forces and it's a cosmic conspiracy. There are men that are sold out to it, but these are dark forces, which are the whole ending game, George, in my opinion, is to set up this one figure who the prophetic text calls the Antichrist, and he will set himself up to be worshipped in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And I realize to a lot of people that sounds absolutely bonkers, but as we see this stuff start to unfold, it will become self-evident. And just remember that we talked about all this a priori in, you know, August of 2010. So if 2012 happens and we start seeing some of this stuff, we know what we're looking at. Hopefully we won't be caught off guard.
Do you think the powers that be might be aware of the Antichrist and who it might be?
Well, that's a good question. I have no idea. I have no idea. I would say that there is an inner circle of people that are waiting and waiting his arrival. Let's put it that way. Awaiting the manifestation of this guy. Is he here yet? Is he incarnated? Very possibly. Is he alive on the planet? Very possibly alive right now on the planet. We don't know because his time isn't yet and he hasn't been revealed yet. There's other things that have to happen before that. Certainly the Middle East is the place to watch.
All right. Let's get your UFO connection when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with L.A. Marzulli. Now we'll get into the UFO and crop circle connection in a moment. Hey, by the way, are you a member of Streamlink called Coast Insiders now? For just pennies a day, you get your iPhone app, soon to be Android and BlackBerry apps as well, downloads, podcasting, past archives. It's just a great service to have for just really pennies a day. Simple. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. L.A., tell us about the crop formation connection with all of this.
Well, there's a very bizarre crop circle that happened last week. And The circle was in England, and there were actually two circles. They were almost identical. Each circle is about 250 feet in diameter. And what was interesting is, you know, when you look at these things from the ground, you don't see doodly squat. You see nothing. I mean, how can a 6-foot man or woman standing in a field like that see anything? I mean, you know something's happened, but obviously you can't, you know, you have no idea what you're looking at. It's some of the crop is down. Apparently this crop seemed to have been woven in sort of the classic crop circle, so it didn't seem like it was a hoaxer. Anyway, you get up on top of this thing in an airplane shooting down, and lo and behold, it's a face. And when they took both, there were two circles. One was in one field, and then across the road in another field was another circle. They're almost identical. So when you take the crop circles, someone figured, well, what happens if we overlay them? And they overlaid the crop circles. And when I saw it, I was immediately taken aback by it because I've been a student of the Shroud of Turin for 30 years. And I just went, oh, my gosh, it looks like the shroud. It looks like the face on the shroud. And sure enough, that's what the article talked about. It left it up to the reader, of course. Crop circle, Shroud of Turin face. What are we looking at here? And if it's a hoax, very clever hoax, I mean, a 250-foot diameter circle. And then,
yeah.
But you know,
and nobody sees them making it?
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine it. I mean, some of the circles, like, you know, are definitely hoax. I understand that.
Absolutely.
Got it. But yeah. This one, you know, it's... especially because we have two different circles, and it would mean that someone has to figure out, well, maybe we should see if we overlay these. And it's you know, when you just look at it from the ground, it appears like nothing, but you get above it in the air, and all of a sudden that face, and then when you overlay them, you get the Shroud of Turin. What are they trying to tell us here? And, of course, this ties into the subtitle of my book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, is The Coming Great Deception and the Luciferian Endgame. And in my opinion, this is what it ties into. There's others who disagree. Well, you know, we can get more into depth on that as this half hour goes. But I believe this is a harbinger. Once again, you know, when we start taking all these events, what are we, and the idea, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the idea that somehow E.T. could be our savior. Somehow E.T., I call this the alien gospel, and I said it before on the show, that E.T., the extraterrestrial, created all life on this planet, that they created the Earth's earliest civilizations, that our ancestors worshipped the extraterrestrial as gods. They created the world's religions, and they genetically manipulated us from primitive man, and now they're back at this critical juncture in human history to usher us into a global age of peace and harmony. Now, this is what, you know, there are people who actually believe this. We both were on History Channel's Ancient Aliens. You were on for an extended period of time. I think I was, most of my 3-hour interview wound up on the editing floor. I think I was on for about 30 seconds because I was coming from a totally different paradigm than what they were trying to promulgate. And thank you for letting me, you know, on your show and to talk freely without being censored or clipped. Absolutely. To make it sound like I'm saying one thing when I'm actually saying exactly the opposite. I believe it's the alien, the whole idea of the extraterrestrial, the alien gospel, is part of the coming great deception. And this entity, which is spilling over from the second heaven or this other dimension, is diabolically clever.
You may be onto something with that too, LA. I'm going to tell you, you might have hit it right on the head there.
Well, I mean, you know, Jacques Vallée, and I'm standing on his shoulders. He calls them messengers of deception, and I think he nailed it. Years, you know, decades ago, I think he nailed it. They are messengers of deception, and I think they are interdimensional beings, not interstellar beings, and they are malevolent. Completely malevolent in every way, and they lie habitually, and they are engaged in a very vigorous breeding program, which, of course, in my opinion, now look, there's other researchers that I hang with that don't agree with me on this, and that's fine. We can agree to disagree, but I know that Jacobs does, Dr. Jacobs, and Dr. Roger Lear and I have talked about this, and mm-hmm. Something is going on. And to say that it's not, I think, is a very truncated view of the phenomena. This phenomena, I'd rather err to the side that there's more to this than what meets the eye, a lot more. And no one knows the whole picture. You know, people, I'm asked often, what about these hybrids? Where are they located? Why aren't we seeing them? And we do see them. I mean, there are reports. I get things across my desk. We can talk about that if you want. But I believe that they're taken to this other dimension called the second heaven. That's why this whole breeding program, and that's why it's so bizarre when people wind up in this other dimension where time doesn't exist the same way as it does for us. That's just a theory.
Do they also, these hybrids, are they going to bring them back at some point?
Yeah. And the hybrids, and I'll tell you a couple of stories, George, which are just an eye-opener to me. I was in contact with two researchers, one in upstate New York, the other one in Australia. These guys both are involved in satanic ritual abuse. Now, I know something about satanic ritual abuse. I've studied it. I read a few books on it, but I've never delved into it. I've never spoken to someone or interviewed someone that was allegedly went through all that, okay? And what these guys found out, and this is why they both contacted me, because they were getting reports from some of these women that they were talking to. And a little bit of backstory, that these survivors, they are so complex, they are shattered, and this goes back to Nazi concentration camps with Dr. Mengele and MK Ultra. It's all connected, it's all interwoven. It's so dark and so nefarious. It's like when I first got into it, I my head reeled. I just can't imagine people doing this to other human beings. But then some of my research, I actually got to speak to some people who went through this stuff. And it is absolutely mind-boggling. And it's happening today. It's happening now. Anyway, to cut to the chase, both these women, one in Australia, one in New York, talk about being taken to Mount Hermon and being impregnated by fallen angels. And the babies, the children, the offspring, 9 months later, when they finally give birth, or whenever they give birth, are taken to the second heaven. They know this, and they're saying we are Nephilim mothers. Now, I can't prove that, but these guys have no dog in the hunt. They have absolutely no dog in the hunt. They know nothing about my work, and you know, their research and what they uncovered led them to my work, and then we began dialoguing with each other and talking to one another. Can I prove any of that? No, I can't.
But it's so bizarre, too, though, isn't it?
It's mind-numbing. I want to read the last, you know, you asked me in the beginning how I got into this. This is from The Omega Conspiracy by Dr. I.D.E. Thomas. And he writes, "It seems as we approach the end time, we are beginning to see a recurrence in phenomena that baffles finite minds." Boy, is that an understatement. "Could the return of the Nephilim be the next item on the agenda?" That's how he closes his book out. That was in 1976. Here we are in 2010, and these guys who know nothing about the UFO breeding program or the Nephilim, they know absolutely nothing about it, coming from a totally different viewpoint, a different discipline, satanic ritual abuse and dealing with these survivors and trying to help these women recover who they are, because they're so splintered. They're so splintered, the personalities. It's like with the movie Three Faces of Eve. That's basically what it's like, except it's even more so. Or it's MK Ultra to the nines. And all of a sudden, they uncover this whole secret breeding program, which they didn't even know existed. And they're taken aback by it. They, you know, their heads spin because it's like, is this true? Is it? Because it's so unbelievable. And yet, we know from the ancient texts that this is precisely what happened thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, which resulted in the flood. So is it happening again today? That's the $64,000 question.
Yeah, but this part of the prophecy is the scary part, because it's so unnatural, so strangely unnatural. You know, I can handle earth changes, and I can handle events caused by human beings, because I think those are all fixable. But when you start injecting these supernatural events, then it really gets scary.
Look, there's one of the texts from the Book of Revelation, and you know that book is just, and I've read it and reread it, and continue to study it. But there's a passage in there which talks about the abuso in Greek, the abyss being open. And there's a lot of ways to interpret that. Some people go, oh, it's all allegory, it's all metaphor, it's not literal. Others, myself included in this, believe that it is literal, that this abyss is open, and out of this abyss come these creatures. And this gets into the work of Tom Horn with the chimeras and this whole genetic, you know, it goes back to Greek mythos, centaurs, minotaurs. Is it really mythos, or were these same guys messing around with the genome? Last week, there was an article, two pigs, and some nutty, you know, geneticist had spliced the gene of a pig with a jellyfish, right, that glowed in the dark, so now the pig lights up. The pig is fluorescent.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is amazing, isn't
now,
it?
This is just the stuff, George, this is just the stuff we know about. This is the stuff that they're kind of leaking out. Oh, a couple of pigs and one glows in the dark. Isn't that cute, honey? I mean, what about the Hall of Horrors that supposedly exist in the Dulce base? You know, what about these creatures who are coming out of the Abuso? Is it just metaphor or allegory? I don't think so. I think that the Fallen One has this genetic program going on, and that these creatures, whatever they are, whatever this passage describes, are real. And we will see them at some point. And, of course, that is supernatural to the nines. Look, the prophecy tells us that this when this thing spills over, there's the most dire warning and prophecy that I've ever read. It says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. Now, if that doesn't sober you up, I don't know what else will. It's not a happy little, you know, celebration birthday party, you know, oh, great, E.T.'s coming back and everything's going to be fine. It's like, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. So I look at all this stuff and, you know, from my little corner of the world and from what I've studied and from what I continually investigate, and I connect all this stuff together, and it appears to me that we are accelerating towards this time, unprecedented in all of history.
All right, what's your take on this Churchill story that the U.K. released last week? That talked about how during World War II, he did not want a specific case released because he said it would be public hysteria and the church would get damaged.
Well, I mean, that to me is whoever, you know, broke the story, and it's funny where they do this stuff. You can't go to Winston and say, Winston, did you really say that?
No.
You can't call Ike up, and most of the witnesses are dead. So there's zero links. And I love the way they break stories like this. And, you know, the public just kind of yawns and go, what's on the tube tonight? You know, is there a nice cold six-pack in the refrigerator? Gee, I miss American Idol. I wonder if Lindsay Lohan's out of jail, and on it goes. All useful distractions, and that's fine if people want to live their life that way. I don't mean to sound glib or judgmental here, but I will say this. That article should make everyone sit up, because if it's true, if there was some way to vet the article, it says that it points to a cover-up, and now they seem to be releasing information slowly into the mainstream. That story was picked up by all news agencies across the board. CNN, Fox, you know, Drudge. I mean, everybody ran with that story. It was all over the place. Of course, you know, the UK, London Times, and papers in Europe. It was all over the globe for about, you know, 24 hours, and then it suddenly fades out, and people yawn and forget about it. But what was alarming and what caught my attention is the whole idea of the fearing of the public panicking and that the loss of religion would happen. And you know, religion's a funny word, but I remember at the end of the Ancient Aliens show on the History Channel, Steve Greer's up there, all due respect to Dr. Greer, and he's got this grin on his face, and he goes, you know, when E.T. shows up, it's all the world's religions will crumble in a nanosecond. I'm paraphrasing here. And you know what, George? He's right. This is what I call the coming great deception. This will cause this paradigm shift in people's consciousness.
That's one of the reasons why they might not want us to know about this.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, Churchill was perceptive. You know what?
Very much so. And think of the climate back then of just, you know, it's a whole different ballgame in 2010 than it was in, you know, 44, 45. Whole different climate, whole different ballgame. So it's, and what have we seen for the last 20 years? Star Trek, Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind. You know, recently, Indiana Jones and the Kingdoms of the Crystal Skulls, which is the Alien Gospel 101. I mean, there it is on the cinematic screen. I mean, it doesn't say that, but that's what it's promulgating. When that saucer comes up underneath the Mayan temple and Indiana goes, where's it going, outer space? His sagacious mentor goes, no, Indy, it's interdimensional. Interdimensional. And the Mayans, remember, worship these entities as gods. It's right out of my playbook, the whole idea of the coming, you know, the coming great deception. You know, if I'm right, and this thing, you see, George, what I believe is that at some point in time when they reveal themselves, it will come at a time of global panic where people will be desperately crying out for someone help to fix everything, and that's when they show up.
How do we know it's not the setup, L.A., for the false flag? right? They said the old Project Bluebeam. You've heard of that, right?
Uh-huh.
Where you know they're going to set up a false UFO invasion,
right,
in order to capture our attention and our hearts and our desperation. Possible?
Well, it certainly is possible, but with all the sightings that we're seeing, you know, like a false flag to me might have been something like a Norway spiral. You know, I mean, I both sides of the aisle, yeah, it was a Russian missile. We saw this thing. We got all the math. And other people are going, it wasn't a Russian missile. More like Bluebeam, you know, who knows what it really was. There is a HAARP, a Russian counterpart of HAARP is located in the area. What are we looking at here? We don't know. But that type of thing, or even the Phoenix Lights, but Fife Symington came on the record. He was there, and he said, look, I saw the craft. It was not of this world. Dr. Lynn Kitai, who I interviewed in my alien interview book,
sure.
You know, she took film of this thing. It's not, whatever this thing is not of this world. Some of the stuff may be government. Some of it may be false flag. But, you know, look, I interviewed Brent Mitchell on my show. He's a MUFON investigator up in Alaska. And I said, you know, Brent, what's going on? And he said, you know, L.A., the phenomenon is changing because we went from little 50-foot craft, 100-foot craft, you know, now we've got mile-wide craft being seen by pilots. And guess what? The pilots are going on the record. They're jeopardizing their, you know, secure pilot status and ridicule and everything else by coming out and saying, look, you know, we saw this thing and it was at least a mile wide and there's no way this thing should have flown. Absolutely no way it should have flown. And yet it's flying and noiselessly and moving very slow. And then all of a sudden accelerates to, you know, 10, 20,000 miles an hour in a blink of an eye and it's gone. Never seen anything like it. So the phenomenon is real, burgeoning, not going away. And, you know, the false flag idea of the UFOs, you know, to create the one world, it's certainly a possibility. Again, I think it'll be self-evident. I lean more towards that these are interdimensional beings that have set this thing up. And I address this actually in the new book, once again, The Cosmic Chess Match. It won't be out for probably the first of next year, the way I'm going on it. But I address it. And this, it's a very clever cosmic ruse, and we're being set up for it. And I stand on the shoulders of Jacques Vallée, messengers of deception. And these guys are masters of it. And they will wait until the perfect moment, until the perfect storm happens. And that's when they reveal themselves, when there's just the right amount of fear, collective fear, global collective fear and uncertainty. That's when they come.
So you see this as really the big push, and it's happening right now.
I do. I think we're beginning. You know, there's one prophetic text which calls these events birth pangs, and I think that's a very apropos term. I think that we are in the birth pangs. I think, you know, and let's just, you know, sort of, because I know we're going to get into the callers in the next hour, but I mean, let's just scroll through it and just look at the things. You know, we look at the fires in Russia, the floods in China, the floods in Pakistan. There's an outbreak of bubonic plague, which we didn't get into. Greece, Greece, Portugal, and Ireland have been now granted second class financial status because their economies are in meltdown, basically.
Ellie, I want to ask you, too, when we come back about other prophecies. You hinted about that, and then we'll take phone calls.